Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. We are here for another episode. We're so grateful that you are here with us. I'm looking forward to our conversation today. Hey, quick question. I'm here with Aaron, obviously.
Pastor Antonio.
How you doing, my brother?
Doing great. Good to be on.
I'm glad you're on. Sorry, my mind is already. I'm just so excited about our conversation.
Yeah, we've been chatting a little bit.
It kind of stemmed from, I remember I was in church.
Yeah.
I was sharing with you, as a pastor on staff, I get to come to church. Uh-huh. But if I'm 1,000% honest, sometimes in a given week, I'll sit in 3, 4, 5 services. Mm-hmm. And just pastoral disclosure, sometimes I'm not as always excited about one over the other.
Yeah.
And we were in worship time in that particular service. And the song was going on. And again, maybe you felt this way sitting in church. If you're honest, you'd be like, oh, I know this song. Or maybe I don't particularly care for this song. These are thoughts that everybody has. But I was doing what I preach, right? Like practicing what I preach, yeah. Kind of shaking myself out of it. Because again, what would we say? Hey, it's not about you. And I know that. And it's not about whether you like the song. And I know that. And you guys all know that.
Right.
But again, I was trying to practice what I preach. Sometimes it's easier than others. Then I just kind of heard the Holy Spirit say, in other words, I was like, don't come empty handed to see the King.
Oh, that's so good.
Now, I know your mama taught you don't go to a friend's house empty handed.
Right.
Right. Don't go to people's homes empty handed. And oftentimes when people are going before a king, they're bringing their best offering.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What did we see when, what is it? What was her name? Queen of Sheba came to visit King Solomon.
Yeah.
What does she bring? It was an offering that you're bringing because you're coming, and oftentimes you want to bring your best.
Yeah.
Right? We bring our best offering. And I think of that song, it wasn't when we were singing this song, but who else is worthy? So when we're coming to see the King of Kings,
yeah.
I just felt like I can't come into this church service, into this time of worship empty handed. So what can I bring?
Yeah.
And I just felt like I can bring an offering of praise.
Yeah.
I can actually tune in, not think about what's after the service, not think about wherever our minds often go.
Yeah.
But how can I really lock into this time and bring a true heart of worship in this moment?
Yeah.
And so the conversation where I love having these conversations with you, Aaron, because you know, you've shared in other podcasts, we've had different conversations, but you've had the privilege of being in church services and outdoor services or revival type things. And you've been in stadiums. You've been in, you've been in the Washington Mall.
Yeah.
And around here at our church, we'll have Holy Spirit nights and we'll have worship nights and we'll have a traditional church service and we'll have sunrise services. And so there's all these things you can go around. There's beach baptism services. And, you know, if you are on the Christian side of the algorithm somewhere on social media, you'll see that there's always different types of church service, whether it be youth camp or like a retreat type style. Those are a different style. There's sometimes 3-hour services. There's, hey, we're going to get done in 60 minutes today. And I love all of that. I love all of the services. We love going to church, we love singing songs, but the common denominator in all of our gatherings, so to speak, whether it's you mentioned home church, right? Or we're the body of church, it's not talking about going into a building because we gave examples of outdoor services or any of these things. But what should our common denominator be? Now, my quick answer is I want the presence of God to be there.
That's it. Yep. That's
right. Like, I don't want to just go hear a song. I don't want to be outside or be somewhere for 3 hours if God isn't there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is the presence of God.
That's the common denominator. Without that, there is no need to gather. We'd be wasting our time, if I can be honest, if we were just to gather for the sake of gathering. For no other reason but then our own reasons. And so I actually, as you were saying that, I was thinking about it just popped up in my spirit. Pastor Jim Cobray, our founding pastor here at the Rock Church Enrolled Outreach Center, along Pastor Deborah, but he says what you treat as common becomes common. Mm-hmm. And so just remembering every time we gather together, whether it's in a home, whether it's in a stadium, whether it's in the courtyard or in a church service week to week, if the presence of God isn't priority, we're missing the whole reason of gathering. And so I agree. Yeah, there is times where you don't feel like we can be real and transparent. Yeah. Like, there's times where I'm like, I want to be home right now. Yeah. I don't want to be at church right now because mm-hmm. we're here often. And for the viewer watching, I'm sure there's times where you're trying to get your kids in the car and dinner's not done yet. And mm-hmm. there's games and you got to do laundry and there's all. And it's like, oh, I got to get to church. And you walk in and praise God. It's a win that they're here. Praise God. You showed up. Amen. God honors those who honor him. But at the same time, there is times where, and then it's like the whole controlling the flesh, you know, going back to, all right, I'm crucifying myself because right now I don't want to be here. I don't want to worship. I don't want to. But then it's like, all right, going back to your statement, every time I come into the presence of the King, that there has to be like this revelation and awareness.
Yeah.
This isn't just common. Like everything that Jesus died for was to restore relationship back between humans and God. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, how do we get a hold of that and not treat it as ordinary? Because what it took to get to this place of God's presence costed Jesus everything. And so now it's this revelation where it's like, all right, God, check my heart. It's a prayer of David. David says, search me, O God. Mm-hmm. If there's anything that's offensive, if there's anything in me that is going to bring disconnect, God, search it so I can know what it is. Create in me a clean, grant me a new heart and a steadfast spirit. Yeah. Renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Yeah.
And so I think those are the things, you know, it's okay to be human. It's okay to feel the things that we feel. And we don't always feel like coming to church. Or we always feel like worshiping God. Or when you're in the middle of a struggle and you don't feel like praising God because you don't feel like there's a reason to praise God.
Yeah.
But the truth is that he is good for 1,000 generations. And I think that's the beautiful thing about doing life with God consistently is as you put in the reps with God, mm-hmm. God wants to show you his faithfulness time and time again. And that's like a cistern, like that holds water. Like every time we have encounters with God, we pull from that cistern where it's like, all right, God was faithful here. And I just don't worship him for what he can do for me, but I worship him because of who he is to me.
Yeah.
And he's a faithful God and he's a faithful father. And this is a place where you get to command your soul to worship God. And, and that takes us out of the response of, oh, just whatever. Because it's not just whatever. But again, what you treat as common becomes common. And so there's a priority in the presence of God. Absolutely.
Well, and I think, you know, for the purpose of the conversation, one of the takeaways that I know I'd like people to walk away with today is the idea that when we gather and get in God's presence, that I tap into something, meaning I recognize that something is different. I love how you mentioned the commonality of something and making things common. Yeah. And just the example you gave with someone coming, it took forever to get out of the door. Now you're late. And actually by the time you sit down in church service or get in the aisle, you know, you're in this, the kids check in or the parking lot or whatever, you're actually mentally exhausted. And now what was going to be a great thing, it just feels like a duty now or it feels like a chore. And then you're like, well, I'm already frustrated. Why am I here? And the thing is, then you just sit in service and what you're doing is kind of checking the box. And it kind of switches what was once excitement into now a religious duty. And if we're not careful, we stay there.
Yeah.
And I know I've had those days where it was just, I'm here so I don't get fined type of deal. That's a Marshawn Lynch callback. Maybe some of you don't know what that is. But the idea of I'm just here so I, you know, like I'm just doing my Christian duty. I'm here at church. And again, the takeaway is I want to read this scripture out of Hebrews. And, you know, I grew up in an era. I loved it. We were in church all the time. And we were singing all these songs, and I had these songs. In the 90s, it was like it seemed like it was the same four songs.
Yeah, all the good old hymns.
And you sing your our services, the worship set was like 45 minutes. And you're singing three songs, 15 minutes each, because you're just singing over and over. So as a kid, it drilled in me. Yeah. Now as I got older and I started reading my Bible, I was like, wait, we were singing straight scripture.
Yeah.
Or we were singing biblical concepts. And so there was something that I was kind of like washing my heart with the word of God and meditating these promises. Mm-hmm. But one of the song that I'm kind of referring to, it was the lyrics, I'm probably butchering them a bit, like, but we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord and we offer up to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we offer up a sacrifice of praise. And so in that moment that I talked about at the top of the episode, when I was just kind of in worship and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pour it out. I'm going to pour out an offering. And what does that offering look like? You know, when we close out worship, what do we say? Hey, let's give up a clap offering. Or let's give up an offering of a shout, right? A clap off. I mean, what does this cost us? Well, it's free to clap if you have two working hands. Praise God.
Yeah.
It's our heart posture that is saying, you know what? Someone's worthy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Right. You know, you'll see when someone does a standing ovation, it's because someone did something that was worthy to acknowledge, right? So everyone stands and claps or shouts and screams. Jeez, someone does something that you like, you stand up, you cheer, you clap. There was something that made you respond in that way. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm in God's presence and I truly recognize that this God that I am here to serve, to worship, is worthy to be praised, that he's done something. And guess what? He has.
Yep.
If he did nothing else for us ever again in life, he's done it all. Mm-hmm. He paid the price for our sins. And so if we can kind of switch over in our minds that this God that we are here to worship is worthy of our praise, he's worthy of our song, as hard as it was to get here, as exhausted as I am, as much as maybe I don't want to be in another church service or I don't want to, I can come with I have to make myself get in a posture that says I'm going to worship King Jesus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's worthy of having this conversation about. Because I'd like to walk through maybe either some of the challenges or preferences that we have.
Yeah.
Because we love worship nights. And you're working with the young adults. I worked with the young adults many years. Hey, when's our next worship night? When's our next worship night? Right. And I love them. And I started to try to, like, oh, what makes these so different? What do people love about? Oh, well, young people just love singing. They love music. And I was like, oh, yeah. So it's a genre. Yeah. So you like coming and singing because you like how it feels. Mm. Now, we know worship is worship and we're praising, right? But oftentimes worship can be very me-centered because we're singing a song and we're worshiping and you know, we're in God's presence and there's something tangible happens, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Because we know God inhabits the praises of his people. But the reason why we have a service the way we do is not just because, well, that's the way we've always done it, right? We kind of tenderize our hearts getting in worship songs, but then we get into his word and the Holy Spirit speaks to us.
Yeah.
And I can't help but wonder sometimes maybe people don't want to get into the word and that where we're going to get convicted and taught and rebuked if we need to by the Holy Spirit, right, by his word. So, hey, let's just sing some songs that make me feel good. I just love the goosebumps that come with songs. So whether it's a worship night or a 3-hour, hey, we're just going to flow again. You know, we're as a church, we're non-denominational, but we definitely are more on the Pentecostal charismatic side of things, unapologetically so. We believe if the word says it can happen for today, and it's
Amen.
Full gospel, right? Mm-hmm. And so we love being led by the Spirit and giving the Holy Spirit room to do what he might on any given church service or gathering. But even those, if we're not careful, we kind of can get obsessed with the programming or the style of service and put that, believe it or not, above who we're here for.
Yeah, yeah.
And so maybe give your thoughts on that, because, again, I know you've been in many different environments, and you've been in similar environments in different places.
Right.
And in different times. So how do we distinguish, Aaron, in your opinion, the idea of an environment? And by environment, I mean, you know, whether it's light, whether it's dark, whether it's loud, whether it's quiet, whether it's traditional, whether I'm in a church building or an outside backyard. Because I think these are common things that we're seeing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're on social media or if you are just kind of aware of what's happening around us in church settings or Christendom, you might see. And then we have our preferences. And so I think for the listener, for the viewer today, what can they take away? How can we build them up and encourage them to make it about Jesus?
Yeah, it's good. There's many different environments that we get the opportunities in life to step into to worship Jesus. And I'm reminded, I just keep going back to David today, but, you know, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. So it really doesn't necessarily matter where the environment's at. If it's a dark room, if it's a lit room, if it's an outdoor, if it's an in sanctuary, yeah. The truth is that God is looking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And if we can key in on that, that every time I'm gathering, whether it's with the people that I'm familiar with or people I've never met, the reality is that God, like you said, he inhabits the praises of his people. I think the Passion Translation says he moves into the neighborhood. He moves into the block. And now he becomes he's in with us. And so for me, I would just say, you know, make sure your heart posture is set to worship God, not putting worship above God. I think sometimes it's easy to say, all right, worship. Amen. Praise God. We're called to worship God. But are you making worship higher than the Lord? Like the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, and we're worshiping him. But if my heart is postured around me feeling good during a worship service, there's nothing wrong with feeling good. Praise God, the Holy Spirit will move. But my posture has to be, Jesus, you're worthy. Mm-hmm. Like he's worthy of pursuit. He's worthy of sacrifice. He's worthy of my heart. You know, my whole me, the true me, the part of me that is contentious at times. You know, the scripture says, like, who can know the heart of man? It's evil and wicked, you know. But if I can put that before the Lord and say, God, I just want to know you. I just want to seek you. And I have this verse right here in Psalms 27. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. And it says this in verse number 4. And this is David. He says, one thing that I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in his presence, quotations, all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, and then parentheses, the sweet attractiveness and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, to consider and inquire in his temple. And that's the heart right there. I just want to meditate on who he is. I want to feast on his goodness. I want to worship him for all that he's done. Then now that completely takes me away from the environment, and it takes me into an encounter with Jesus.
Yeah.
And it takes me back into a place of coming low and coming in humility.
Yeah.
This is the living God.
Yeah.
The scripture says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Like, don't worry about a man who can just kill you, but God can literally kill you and take your soul to hell. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's why I fear God. That's why there's this reverence on worship. And so there is beautiful times, but then on the flip side of things, there is also times where God is doing something within a group, or God's doing something within a gathering, or that certain body of believers. There's the ecclesia, right? Where there's corporate anointings that God's doing something. So when we come into those moments, sometimes there's assignments on things. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes there's intercessory worship or things where it's like, man, like right now we're coming against this in the spirit realm. So now I'm attaching my faith to the faith that's in the room. And now faith becomes becomes contagious. And so it's like, okay, like these people, for example, like they're believing, for example, if someone is in need of healing and it's a worship set, they're acknowledging Jesus the healer. And they're not just worshiping God for what he can do, but they're worshiping because they know who he is, that he is Jehovah Rapha. And I'm going to come in agreement with that, because a sister or brother in the Lord needs breakthrough, and we're coming on behalf of them to release the sound of worship into the atmosphere, and to reinstate the kingship of Jesus into a situation, into a person's life, or into a thing that needs a touch of God. And so I think there's two sides of it, but I think if anything, you know, the heart is the most important thing. What's your heart? What is your heart to make you just come and have a good experience so you can, you know, feel good for the rest of the week? Or is it like, man, like I want to come in and know this God? John 3:34 says that the Holy Spirit has been given to Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit without limitation.
Yeah.
We can have as much of God as we want. So every time, and we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. So every time I come into the presence of God, whether in my bedroom, whether in my car, whether in the church, whether outdoors, whether at the kids' soccer game, as I'm feeling the presence of God, he's everywhere at once, omnipresent everywhere at once. But what am I doing? I'm creating history with the Lord. God, Lord, thank you that you're for me, not against me. Thank you that you have saved me, that you are the son of suffering. Yeah, you understand what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus, that God, you know how to make this work, and you know how to take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good. I thank you in advance, God.
Yeah.
And now we're coming into agreement, and that's the power of covenant.
Yeah.
And David and God had a covenant.
Yeah.
And David says, like, you know, it's like he feels bad in a sense, because he's like, you know, I sleep in a house of cedar, but you, Lord, you don't have no place, you know.
Yeah.
And then here's David, you know, I'll build you a house, God, and God is saying, I'll build a house in you. Mm-hmm. And that house is my presence.
Yeah.
And then he promises, like, the lineage, and out of David would come, you know, a king, and it speaks of Jesus, right? And establishing the throne of David, or the throne of David for Jesus, you know. And so it's like, when we get understanding of that, it's like so much more deeper than just, oh, this is what I think about in this room.
Yeah.
Like the room is just the location, well, but the encounter is a place. There,
because I want you to look, maybe you know the passage. I think is it 1 Thessalonians 4:7, where it talks about thanksgiving and prayer and supplication. If you can reference that, I want to read this scripture here. we're talking about, this is Hebrews 13:5. Through him, then, let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise, again, where some of that song came from,
yeah,
a praise to God. That is the fruit of lips praising his name.
Yeah.
And so I want to give some practicals to someone who is coming to church or coming into a gathering or just trying to reframe their mind to get their mind off of the present.
Yeah.
And so how can I actually do this? How can I really appreciate and take in the fullness of God's presence?
Right.
When there's all these outside things. And I think some of it is going to be what we just see in the scripture here is we're going to have to open our mouth. There's the opening of our mouth and giving some praise, some thankfulness, some gratitude. So if you're wanting, hey, what's the practical way that I do that? Again, I was mad in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I maybe don't like this song. Well, close your eyes, sing a different song. The music's playing.
Yeah.
I mean, try to tune these things out.
Right.
And just thank you, God. Thank God to the tune. Maybe you like the tune, but you don't like the lyrics or whatever it is, whatever hangups that we have.
Right.
Open your own lips and praise God.
Yep. That's huge.
Open your mouth and say, so Thessalonians, you didn't do it.
Oh, sorry. I missed my cue. Darn it.
Let's see here. I want to go to Thessalonians. I think it's.
You said four?
I think it's 1 Thessalonians. Is it 4:7?
I'm thinking Philippians, prayer and supplication.
Yeah, no, it might be the be anxious for nothing. Is that Philippians? Yeah,
that's Philippians 4. Yeah, 4:6 maybe.
4:6-8, right? Let's see.
Somewhere in there, yeah. Don't be anxious for anything, but in prayer and supplication, make a request made known to God.
Philippians 4:6-9. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving.
Yep. Wow.
With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And so, again, here's the moving our mouth. And there's that. So our posture before our petition is a thankful heart.
Yeah.
Is gratitude. And what that's doing is it for when you are saying thank you for something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know there's times when I've been upset and my kids call me out and they say, Dad, you didn't say thank you. And in order for me to get the words thank you out of my mouth, I have to stop. I don't want to, but I have to stop, take a breath, because it's like my anger was a different way.
Yeah.
Like, so you can't say thank you. Like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Right? Like it's almost like you almost have to stop to say thank you. And in the same way, wherever our mind was going, I'm going to press pause, redirect my thoughts with thanksgiving to God. Thank you, Jesus, that I can even have this breath, that whatever I'm frustrated with, I'm alive to feel frustrated.
Yeah.
Right. I'm out of gas. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a car.
Right.
Right. You know, like, oh, I'm in pain in my leg. You have a leg.
Yeah.
Right. Again, you can zoom out all day.
Sure.
But there is something to be thankful for.
Yes.
So here we're I'm going to go
and back. I think 1 Thessalonians, what you're thinking about, is just pray without ceasing too.
That was it. The pray without ceasing is where I was coming from. I connected the prayer part here is because.
But both require opening your mouth.
Yeah, there's the opening your mouth. There's the prayer. There's the praise. There's the action of having to do it. And I think we would like these moments where we can just, you know, we like to be in our feels. Again, those of you who are not watching, you know, I'm just kind of doing like the wooing. Imagine like some just hippie feeling. Oh, yeah. You know, like just go with the flow. And some of that is because it doesn't require work on our part. Mm. Right. We just get to take it in. And there's times for that. But
yeah, feelings are from the Lord.
Opening your mouth.
Yeah.
To get outside of yourself. And with the peace of God that transcends understanding will guard your hearts and your minds.
That's it.
Right. So it's that.
That's it.
Thanksgiving. It's the petitions that we're giving before God. And those things require a sacrifice of praise that I am going to praise you first. I'm going to thank you first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to continuously talk to you. And I think these will help us going into all these moments.
Right.
Because I'm not saying it's wrong to have a preference. Mm-hmm. Let me know when the next worship night is. Let me know when this is. My challenge with our preferences is that preferences can change, or what happens when it's not, and there's not a worship night scheduled for this long. And you only can get in the presence of God under this kind of circumstance. You only connect with Jesus under this, or with that preacher, or with that singer. Well, it's kind of like get over yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Aaron, I mean, is it just our preference? Because now who's to be worshipped?
Yeah.
So you're the king. You're the queen of your life. Mm. And it's all about your preferences. And there is something just about getting over ourselves.
Yep.
Let's forget about ourselves, magnify the Lord and worship him. Here I go with my old 90s. Hey. Let's forget about ourselves, magnify the Lord and praise his holy name. I'm sure that's a scripture too. But these 90s songs just come out of me. And guess what? They're a word. They're scripture. Because I got to forget about me and who am I praising?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if my praising is based on my preference, then I'm going to miss it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a lot of our challenges that would become a lot less when we make him more.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Actually, I think about, I saw a study recently scientifically, and it says depression cannot coexist with gratitude.
Mm.
If you're like in a depressed state or overwhelmed state, literally the antidote to that is to literally just start being grateful and expressing that. And that's what scripture is sharing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God, that's like, he's letting you in on the secret, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, you have problems, praise me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to break things off you. And that's where it says too in scripture that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you get into praise, you shift gears out of whatever the muck and the mire of life is. And you get into a place of joy, exuding the Lord, exalting him, extolling his name.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to carry you through, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have friends who are young and I have friends who are old, and man, I think about my old friends who are in their 70s and almost 80s, and they're just like, they're full of joy. Because why? Because they've learned that the ingredients to having a great life with God is being thankful in all seasons.
Yeah. And it's one of the fruits of the Spirit.
It is. Yeah.
And what is that? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, is this when their spirit is there, that's the fruit that we have. Right. So if the Spirit is, if you're operating in the Spirit, you will have joy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to be operating in the Spirit looks like, man, I'm being Spirit-led. I'm not being led by my flesh. I'm not being led by what I feel.
Yeah.
I'm going to let the truth of his word.
Yeah.
So that's why in all circumstance, I can praise him.
Yeah. And that's a place where you really begin to form foundation with the Lord, where you don't have to just do things the way you do them. But it's like, man, there's this invitation right now to come higher.
Mm-hmm.
I can get outside my little, my section of life that I only know this, you know, this, I can't see around the corner right here.
Yeah.
But praise God that we have a God who is Lord over all.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians says he is high. He's Lord over all. And so that's a great thing. Yeah. So don't just come to worship for yourself.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with worship songs. I love worship songs that glorify Jesus, but sometimes I'll be listening to songs and it's a lot of I in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the word I pops up a lot and it's like, let me change this.
Yeah.
I want to get songs back onto who else is worthy.
Yeah.
Lamb of God, anointed one who wasn't. Like, it takes my focus. And there is songs that minister to people, and God has given those songwriters those songs because it's helped them through their season and it'll help others through their season.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, if it's always about I, we need to redirect that back onto him.
Well, what would we say? Me focus. And we're focused on me and all of my feelings. Well, our feelings are a bad gauge.
Yeah, they
change. Because our feelings change.
Yeah, they can be faulty.
And so what is constant? What is not changing? And that's God's goodness.
Yeah.
Because if I'm only worshiping when I feel like it, or, I'm this, and because of all the things he's done for you.
Yeah.
But what happens when you feel like he's not been done for you? I was listening to a podcast the other day, and this person, if I said her name, you would know it. She was talking about on the heels of just hosting this amazing conference and this amazing time, she got spiritually attacked, her health, her family, her pets.
Oh, Lord.
And so she was like, she was being transparent in this interview, and she was just like, I was upset with God because I felt like, God, you're using me. As long as I'm doing this and hosting this and doing this for you, you're taking care of me. But the moment it's over, you leave me. And the revelation that she got was like, wait, no, even in those moments, God was with you, sustaining you and keeping you and guarding you from ultimate harm coming to you.
Yeah.
But what she said, but even if harm came, God was still there. And I think those things can change. But when we are focused on how we're feeling and we're gauging our walk with God, I'll go to church as long as things are going, and I'm mad at you when they're not going good, God, so I'm not going to praise you because of it. I think we'll really miss it. So when we make praise a practice, when we're in the good mood, building up the muscle memory that says, I mean, coming into your house, regardless of who's preaching, regardless of what song they're singing, I'm praising you, then what I'm doing is I'm building that muscle that says, and I think you opened up with, it's all about you.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned with these other things. I'm not going to treat you common. I'm not going to treat your house common. I'm not going to treat your presence common.
Yeah.
I'll be able to find you anywhere. Mm. So take me through hell or high water. I'm going to find you. I'm going to get in your presence, and I'm going to be uplifted and strengthened by you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that we can miss as believers sometimes, where our church attendance or our faith is dependent on where we are. When things are good, hey, God, me and you are good.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden, you know, we get laid off, we get heartbreak. Well, now where were you, God? But what happens is we've made a curated, in a day and age where we can curate an algorithm, we can curate, order how we want it, do it how we want. We've done the same thing to God.
That's dangerous. We've made
ourselves the center.
Yeah.
And I think that's the challenge for all of us as we kind of wrap up today, is to get our eyes less on us and our life and our circumstance and how things look for us. And if we just keep our eyes on Jesus, we're going to be better off. And not just because things are going to look better, but our heart's posture will be better.
Yeah. And his steadfast love endures.
Yeah.
He's long suffering. He's patient with us. Amen. So, can you pray for those who feel like they maybe have been just kind of focused on themselves and bringing it back to, man, God wants to still meet with them and speak with them and do life with them. And thank you, Jesus.
Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God, and we repent, Lord God, for missing the mark here. We repent for making it about us. We repent for using our preferences, Lord God, as our gauge and our guide for how we show up for you. Because it's really about you. You are King. You are Lord. Be the Lord of our lives. Be the center of our world, Lord God. So we praise you. We praise you with our lips. We say thank you. We say you are good. We say you are King, Jesus. And we ask, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy, Lord God, that you would continue to equip us to serve you well, to love you well, to love people around us well, Jesus, to know, recognize, and understand your presence in a new way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, we pray that you enjoyed this conversation. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Man, we'd love to hear some feedback. God bless you guys. Talk to you soon.